Let's take our Bibles and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As you know, we are still in the resurrection season, and this Lord's Day is dedicated to the resurrection theme. Mark preached this morning from Acts chapter 4 about the fact of the resurrection, shared especially among the people of God as a means of God imparting His grace to us. This evening, we'll be looking at some other aspects of the resurrection of Christ. 2 Corinthians. We don't often, it seems, preach from 2 Corinthians. Some of it is somewhat difficult to understand. We don't know all the details about Paul's relationship to the Corinthians and these people, but there's much tremendous, tremendous truth here in the book of 2 Corinthians. So it's been a delight for me to get into this book to some degree the last day or two. So let's take up here chapter 4, verse 7. We'll go through the next chapter, verse 10. The apostle writes, "For we have this treasure," he's talking about the treasure of the gospel, okay? "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I spoke,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the riches of your word. We thank you for this beloved apostle, Paul, for his great love for the church, for the people of God, his great faithfulness to your truth, his diligent labors for the kingdom and for your glory. Lord, we ask you to teach us truths out of your word this night. And so we commit this time to your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things we see about the apostle as we get into 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, we see that this man went through extreme suffering. He mentions the fact that he thought he was going to die from his suffering, but God spared him. And some of the reason for his sufferings is so that he could comfort the church in their sufferings. Apostle Paul was dogged by people who tried to disrupt his ministry, to discredit him in the eyes of other Christians. Well, the apostle talks about this Christian life that he's living and that the church is living. And he says in verse 7, we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. People were trying to discredit the Apostle Paul. John Calvin says this, Paul was making a defense of his own ministry, and he might have responded like this, saying, those who use the abasement of my person, that is, the disparagement of my person, as an excuse for detracting from the honor of my ministry are unjust and unreasonable judges. For a treasure does not become less valuable though being deposited in a vessel of no value. Amen. So, well, the Apostle Paul was old and half blind and whatever his physical ailments and imperfections were, doesn't detract at all from the treasure of the gospel. And it doesn't detract from any of us either. No matter what our physical appearance or our physical condition in life, if we have the gospel, it is the thing that shines forth to the glory of God. Paul goes on to say, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The life of an apostle was not easy. Not too many people would probably be willing to sign up, seeing the kind of lifestyle that an apostle lives. John Calvin says again about this verse, he says, though we are brought so low, we apostles, we Christians who are persecuted, though we're brought so low that all seems over with us, yet we do not perish. For some reason, God keeps us going. Verse 10 says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You notice here, Paul describes his life, affliction, being perplexed, being persecuted. He says in verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. This is his lifestyle. This was his normal Christian life. The use of the present tense shows that he was always and constantly suffering for Christ's sake in his strenuous apostolic labors. Someone has written, more than any other Christian, Paul demonstrated that human extremity was the best position in which to prove divine power. In other words, being extremely stretched to the utmost, so you're almost devoid of life, was the best position in which to prove divine power. Well, what we have here in this passage are five paragraphs. What I want to do is I want to summarize each paragraph three times. Each time I summarize it, it will be reduced to a more concise form. Okay? So, first paragraph, we just got through sort of briefly looking at verses 7 through 12. Well, I think I deleted something from my notes. All right, let me read this. The treasure of the gospel is being rendered through the constant sacrificial service of our weak and dying bodies. Though we live in weak and dying bodies, okay, well, that's good enough right there. The treasure of the gospel is being rendered through the constant sacrificial service of our weak and dying bodies. All right, so let's look at the next paragraph, verses 13 through 14. Through 15, right. All right, this is what I see the apostle is saying. We continue to believe and preach the gospel because we know that God raised Jesus from the dead and will raise both us and you so that we can all enter his presence with thanksgiving unto God's glory. The next paragraph, verses 16 through 18, says this, my summary. So in spite of the fact that our bodies are wearing out, we know God is preparing an experience of eternal glory for us, which though we cannot see it now, we know it is real and will last forever. And then the fourth paragraph, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, summarize it this way. We have this confidence in the coming eternal reality because we know that if our bodies are destroyed, we have an eternal body. These are the words eternal that Paul uses here. We long to be clothed with this eternal body so that our mortal bodies will be replaced by the never dying life of our heavenly bodies, the possession of which is guaranteed by the gift of the Spirit. And then the fifth paragraph, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, summarize, thus knowing our future, we're of good courage, We live a life of faith, knowing that whether we continue to live here or enter the Lord's presence through death, we seek to please Him in every circumstance, aware that we shall all appear before Christ's judgment seat to receive our just reward or lack thereof. All right, let's go back through these same five paragraphs, and I want to reduce them a little further. All right, first paragraph. Though we live in weak and dying bodies, through them the life of Jesus is manifested. Second paragraph. We have confident faith that Christ's resurrection assures us all of our own resurrection, which grace engenders thanksgiving from many people and glory to God. And then the third paragraph. So we don't lose heart in our afflictions, because they are preparing us for the unseen eternal things. And then the fourth paragraph. We long to be clothed with our eternal bodies. And we know God will do this because we've already received the indwelling Spirit. And then the fifth paragraph. We now live in these physical bodies by faith, although our longing is to be in the presence of the Lord, whom we seek to please, no matter what our state, knowing we will all appear before Christ's judgment seat. And then, finally, the third time, I reduced it to about one sentence, each of the five paragraphs. We are frail, mortal people who reveal God's power and the life of Jesus in our lives. So no matter the condition of our bodies, we're all frail, we're all mortal, we're all going to die. The key thing here is that the power and life of Jesus will be used, the power and life of Jesus in us, that treasure in these earthen jars, will be used by Him to bring glory to Himself and to bring others to Himself. There's no retirement in the Christian life. No retirement. No matter if a person is old and decrepit in a nursing home, that person, if he or she's a believer in Jesus, the power and glory and the life of Jesus will still be revealed through that vessel, that jar of clay. A Christian person can be down, but he's never out. He's always in the fight. If he just gives the glory of God within his breast a chance, it will spill out and bring honor and glory to God. All right, second paragraph. We have faith that the raising of Jesus will result in our own resurrections for God's glory. Everything is built on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we were reading tonight from 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus wasn't raised, our faith is empty, it's vain, it's useless, and we're spinning our wheels in this life for nothing. But we know that Jesus, in truth, was raised from the dead. The most attested event displayed by ancient documents in the history of the world. Jesus rose. He's the forerunner. He's the first fruits. And the rest of the harvest follows the first fruits. Third paragraph. Present afflictions are preparing us for the eternal and glorious things of God. Trials and afflictions are to be expected. The apostle said, no one enters the kingdom of God without persecution, without afflictions, without trials. They're the norm of the Christian life. Humans, whether they're Christians or not, often suffer in this life. Sometimes Christians suffer more because of their faith. They suffer mockery, discrimination in the workplace, persecution. But whatever afflictions we may be undergoing, they're doing something tremendous within our lives. What are they doing? They're preparing us for the exceedingly more glorious life with God that awaits us in Christ's presence in the new heaven and new earth. So, we can have confidence in this life. We can have confidence in our own resurrection from the dead. We don't have to fear death. We may not like anticipating the experience of death. But when Christ returns, we will be raised from the dead. So, because Christ rose, we don't have to be afraid of death. He set us free from this fear that terrifies so many people. And so the resurrection of Christ gives us confidence in facing death, considering our eternal state. The resurrection of Christ gives us confidence because of the gospel within us, the life of Christ within us, that we are being used by God in this world to bring Him glory. It doesn't matter our situation in life. It doesn't matter what kind of handicaps, defects, afflictions we may be experiencing or in our life. In these frail vessels, jars of clay, the very life of the risen Christ is there. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in our mortal bodies to bring Him glory, to accomplish His purposes in the life, in our lives, in the world. So we can be confident that we are essential, we are crucial in the plan of God, No matter how afflicted we may be. And the fourth paragraph summarized here. Our longing to live in our immortal bodies is a hope guaranteed by our possession of the Spirit. There's two things that give us confidence. It's the objective reality of Christ's resurrection from the dead. And secondly, it's a subjective experience of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't be a Christian without the presence of the Spirit. The Spirit witnesses with our spirits that we are children of God. The Christian faith, as Martin Lloyd-Jones would say, is an active experience of the presence of the Lord through His Spirit in our lives. It's crucial, it's essential to being a Christian. If we have a sense of the presence of God's precious Spirit in our lives, we have been given a guarantee. This is a deposit, a down payment, that there's much more to follow. Amen. This is just a foretaste of the glory to come. Fifth paragraph, summarized. We walk by faith to please Christ as we await being in His presence and appearing before His judgment seat. We walk day by day by faith in the unseen. The things of this world are transient, the Bible says. They're passing away. And so why focus all of our human energies on these transient things? It's the eternal things that matter. So it doesn't really matter what our situation in life is as a Christian. We can focus on the unseen, on the eternal things, and enter into the glory and wonder of being a Christian in this life. As you get on that bus and sit next to people, Brother Larry, you can be a vessel manifesting the glory of the risen Christ as you allow His life to shine through you. Some of our people in our congregation have serious physical health issues, and we feel for you. And we pray that the Lord would help you and strengthen you. But whatever may be the personal trial that God has for us, nothing can destroy or inhibit the glorious gospel of Christ that's alive and well in our hearts and lives, being manifested through us. We can have confidence that because of the resurrection of Christ, our lives matter. Christian lives matter.
Amen.
And every Christian is a special vessel, a special jar to manifest the glory of God in your situation in life around the people whom you rub shoulders with day by day. And what is the driving force of our lives? Paul says. Whether I'm here or that I'm with Jesus, we seek to please Him. So when we arrive in Christ's presence, our motivation is not going to be that much different. Still going to please Him, seek to please Him, as we are now. So we've entered into this great, glorious, eternal relationship with the living God that we can begin to exercise now, and that we please Him. We seek to please Him in our lives, whatever we're doing, whoever we're with. Please Jesus Christ. We don't always do it. We fail sometimes. But that is our goal. That's what we strive for. And so, we exercise our Christian lives. We work out our faith. It is God who is at work within us. So, what we're doing now in the flesh, in our bodies, for Christ's kingdom, he says, will be appropriately rewarded at Christ's judgment seat. So we have this concept of Christ's judgment seat, which seems to be directed at Christians, a way of rewarding us for our faithfulness, our labors for the gospel. Says whether good or evil. Well, sadly, sometimes we do evil. But we try not to. We repent when we do. And we seek to do good. So, we live by faith. We live by faith in the resurrected Christ. And because he's been resurrected, we have a degree of confidence in our lives that the rest of the world doesn't have. It is a confidence that's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have confidence that we will be raised from the dead, that death will not conquer us. We don't have to fear death. We have confidence. Christ rose, and he will raise us. And we can have confidence that our lives matter, because God is working in us an eternal, something great and glorious, a manifestation of his power, the resurrection life of Jesus in a human being, so that they are transformed from the inside out and begin to reflect more and more the character and the personality and the motivation, the love, the righteousness, the submission of Jesus Christ. These jars of clay, every jar is different. Every jar is created unique by God. But each of these Christian jars encloses, encompasses the glorious gospel of Christ, the very presence of the Spirit of God within our lives, so that we can live every day in the confidence. What we do, what we say, what we think has eternal significance. God is using us. God is blessing us. God looks on his children and smiles. He's pleased with his children as they exercise their faith, as they seek to please him. Oh, what great confidence we have because Christ rose from the dead. Even if we have to suffer persecution for the name of Christ, we have confidence that our suffering is not in vain, that our witness can be used for God's glory and to bring others to Christ. So here we are, together, this local church, this time in history. God has graced us so kindly with salvation, placed His love upon us. I want this person and this person, this person, this brother, this sister to manifest my glory in their lives, in their situation, so that I can be glorified, so that they can be blessed, so that they can be used, so they can be partners with me in this life to bring glory to myself, encouragement, and confidence in their lives. It's all based on the resurrection. And it's applied, made alive, made real by the presence of the Spirit in our lives. So on this second Sunday in the resurrection season, oh, how great is our confidence. Christ rose. He'll raise us from the dead. Christ is using us for His purposes and for His glory, using us frail jars of clay in our daily lives. Hallelujah! What a salvation. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, truly we are of all people most blessed, because in eternity past you shone upon us with your love, with your sovereign election to bring us to yourself in the perfect timing of our own lives. And you have determined to use these jars of clay to glorify your Son through our lives. Oh Lord, thank you. Continue to use us. May the risen life of Christ shine forth from our lives for your glory and for our encouragement and confidence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.